I'm Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery. Today I am interviewing Randy Mentzer. Randy is a certified nutritional counselor and a pharmacist in the state of Washington. Randy has a compounding pharmacy. It's the old-time way of actually making pharmaceuticals for people from scratch. It's quite an amazing talent and a skill. Randy is really very skilled at helping people know more about the implications of multiple medications that they take. When you take even more than two medications, there is the possibility of a drug interaction or a drug depletion. My mother had Parkinson's, and she was taking over 10 different prescription medications for one particular malady or another, and she ultimately wound up having a stroke and dying from a stroke, which was aggravated and in fact caused by the interactions of the medications. So Randy's skill is near and dear to my heart. And I strongly recommend for anyone who happens to be a client of mine that they get a consultation from Randy, especially if they are taking multiple prescription medications that might have some possibility of having some interactions and creating some adverse side effects. So it's my pleasure to interview Randy today. We have a question from Phyllis. And she says, do you support the use of CoQ10, and if so, at what dosage? Right now, I am taking Stalevo three times daily, soon to take, in addition, a low-dose Requip one time daily. Other supplements are D, folic acid, Gingo, Prozac, 20 milligrams one time daily, Lavazza, high-dose omega-3. And she would basically like to have any kind of suggestions or comments that you might have.
I'm not really too fond of Requip. I'm not sure why you're taking the Requip. If you're taking it for restless leg syndrome, I kind of lean towards trying natural products first. And we find that magnesium, the magnesium glycinate, not magnesium oxide or anything like that, it's magnesium glycinate, works really well for restless leg syndrome. And it's natural. It's a muscle relaxer. Other supplements of vitamin D, check to make sure it's vitamin D3. Folic acid is fine. Ginkgo is fine. Prozac is something to help to increase serotonin levels. I'm not going to criticize you for doing that. I think that if you've been diagnosed with Parkinson's, that is kind of a depressive type of situation. So I would prefer other things other than Prozac, but I'm not going to criticize you with Prozac. I mean, for taking Prozac right now. At some other time, we can talk about alternatives to antidepressants. The high dose of omega-3s, yes, I would agree with that. I think that's great. What we want to do, if we back up and say, okay, what causes Parkinson's? We don't know. But we do know this. Nutritional scientists know this, that the basis for all disease, all chronic degenerative disease, starts with an event. We don't know what that event is with Parkinson's, but we know that something happens. And that whatever happens causes inflammation. So this process of Parkinson's disease or cancer or heart disease or diabetes or multiple sclerosis or whatever it is, it all starts with an event that causes inflammation. So you want to eat foods that are anti-inflammatory. You want to avoid the foods that cause inflammation. And you want to take supplements that are anti-inflammatory. And omega-3s are anti-inflammatory. We use omega-3s for a number of inflammatory processes, including arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and so on and so forth. So omega-3s are very, very essential, and yes, I would encourage you to continue to do that.
Carl from Portland asks, do you have an opinion as to the relative effectiveness of using Sinemet versus Mucuna Purines for treating Parkinson's disease symptoms?
Well, Mucuna is actually an Ayurvedic herb, and it has L-DOPA in it. So I don't have a problem with you using that, but be careful, because the reason why there's Sinemet is because Sinemet has L-DOPA, and it has another form of DOPA which reduces the incidences of certain side effects like dyskinesias. And dyskinesias are very serious side effects. You don't want to get that. They are commonly a jerky, dance-like movement of the arms and head, and it usually doesn't present itself until after several years of treatment of medication with L-DOPA. So you have to be very careful that you don't get too much L-DOPA. So by using your herb may possibly give you too much L-DOPA. So just keep in close contact with your doctor. Make sure that he understands that the Mucuna has L-DOPA in it. But I would say that the Sinemet would be far more effective. But if you add the Mucuna on top of it, it's likely to give you more L-DOPA, which might cause you some problems.
Carl from Portland also asks, any potential problems taking Lipitor, 10 milligrams once a day, and Benicar, HCT, one tablet a day when you have Parkinson's disease? I also take Mucuna Purines.
Well, I don't see a problem with, well, we talked about the Lipitor. Lipitor is a statin drug, and I might question that. Why are you trying to get your cholesterol down? People are always afraid of their cholesterol numbers, and I think that that's a manufactured concern from the pharmaceutical industry. If we take a look at heart attacks, for example, 70% of all men who have heart attacks have normal cholesterol. So we know that there are other things involved with cardiovascular disease, not just cholesterol. And cholesterol is important for the connective skin, tissue in the skin. It makes vitamin D3. It is the building block for all your sex hormones. So one of the problems I have with people who come in and saying, you know, I don't have any sex drive anymore. I say, well, what kind of medication are you taking? Well, the only thing I'm taking is Lipitor. Well, there we are. It's pushing down your cholesterol, so your cholesterol is not making pregnenolone, it's not making progesterone, it's not making DHEA, testosterone, estrogen, and possibly cortisol. So we're not very fond of the statin drugs. The Benicar, I don't think there's any problem. The hydrochlorothiazide part of it, the HCT, is hydrochlorothiazide. It's basically a diuretic. It's a water pill. And there's a drug nutrient depletion there. Now, one of them is good. One of them is not so good. What you're trying to do with hydrochlorothiazide is get rid of excess sodium. That's good, because the theory would be that if you get rid of excess sodium, which retains water, then this will help your blood pressure to go down. However, on the other hand, it may also deplete potassium. Low potassium might also be implicated some way in Parkinson's. So you want to make sure that you get your potassium levels checked when you're taking hydrochlorothiazide.
So should a person not even worry about whatever their cholesterol numbers are?
Well, I'm not a good one to talk, because I just checked my cholesterol, and it's too low. It's 161. Of course, I eat very well. I don't eat anything that's bad for me. I have a very, very good diet. And but if it was 240, 250, or whatever, I wouldn't worry about it myself. But I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking, and I'm not suggesting, and I'm not saying anything. I'm not making an opinion on somebody else. There are other factors involved, and you should work in close contact with your healthcare provider. But also, it's a good idea to get close to your compounding pharmacist who understands these things as well.
Carl from Portland again asks, what, in your opinion, is the best method to determine an individual's need for specific supplements, for example, vitamins, herbs, minerals, etc.?
Well, I look at something, a question like that, and I think, okay, the first thing we look at is, what are you eating? Are you eating organic foods? Are you eating things in a can? Are you eating things in a box? Is your food the problem? And then the other thing I look at, are you exercising? If you're not exercising, that may be the problem. So getting back to this, to the question, the needs for the individual specific supplements, how do we determine that? The first thing we look at is what your diet. Second thing, exercise. The third thing, of course, what medications are you taking? As I stated before, if you're taking birth control pills, it's sucking out vitamin B6. If you're taking aspirin, it's sucking about five or six different things out of your system, such as vitamin C. So in that particular case, you might need more vitamin C. But if you're really concerned about what to take and how much to take, there are tests that you can take to find out what your levels are. And there again, you can talk to your compounding pharmacist or a healthcare provider who practices alternative medicine.
So are these tests blood draws or saliva tests, or does it depend on what you're looking for?
They're a combination. You could be looking at, most likely you can get all these in blood tests, but sometimes you might look at urine tests. And if you're looking at like heavy metal toxicities, and there might be a possible a trace mineral toxicity with Parkinson's, and that would be manganese. So you can check all those things either with blood or urine or hair analysis. A hair analysis is a good way to check for toxic metals. And who knows, we are exposed to toxic metals and toxic chemicals more and more each day in our culture. So it might be a good idea to have that checked out, because, golly sakes, what if it's not what you think it is? What if the concern is not what you think it is and it's something totally different that you've missed, but it shows up in a hair analysis? Maybe it's mercury. Maybe that's the problem. So it's a good idea to check those things out.
If a person doesn't live near a compounding pharmacist, is it possible to be able to obtain one or more of these tests long distance? That is, can they send things like hair samples in and be able to get an analysis done?
Well, let me give you a telephone number there. If you are in some place where you don't know of a compounding pharmacist nearby, you can call a company called PCCA. That's the letters PCCA, and you can call 1-800-331-2498. That's 1-800-331-2498, and ask them for a compounding pharmacy close to you. There are about 1,500 in the United States, and if you give them your zip code, they will most likely be able to tell you who's close by.
Carl from Portland also asks, what foods should be avoided if you have Parkinson's disease?
Well, I think that you should avoid any foods that cause inflammation. And actually, I could talk to you about this for a long time. So in just a short 30-second snip here, you should avoid fats that are solid at room temperature. That's number one. That's like margarine. That's like fats that are found in meats. The liquid fatty acids like olive oil, fish oil, flaxseed oil, those are fine because those are anti-inflammatory. But any fats that are solid at room temperature cause inflammation. Some of them cause a lot of inflammation. Some of them cause a little bit of inflammation. But you should avoid anything that causes inflammation because we know that inflammation is part of Parkinson's. It's involved with other types of degenerative diseases.
Susan from Phoenix has a question. I am only on Meripax since last March, 1.25 milligrams currently, and don't notice any side effects except occasionally lightheadedness upon standing. Are there foods that help or hinder its absorption? Do you know of any long-term effects of Meripax at this high dose? To be honest, part of me doesn't want to know the negative because the drug has been very helpful to me. My hand, arm, body tremor is still very pronounced, even with Meripax. Any suggestions?
Meriplex is a fairly recent drug, and well, I shouldn't say it's fairly recent. It's probably 10 years old. It is very good. It has been shown to be very, very helpful. And as far as side effects goes, there are less side effects with that than some of the other Parkinson's disease, less dyskinesia, tremor, and so on and so forth. As far as long-term side effects, we can take a look at, I'll just kind of share this with you because, and just take this with a grain of salt. When compared with the placebo, 4% may have shown some confusion as opposed to 1% with a placebo. 1% experienced decreased libido as opposed to zero for placebo. Dizziness, 25% of patients taking Meripax experienced dizziness, but 24 experienced dizziness with the placebo, and so on and so forth. Now, if we take a look at insomnia, 70% experienced insomnia as opposed to 12% without, on a placebo. So you might take a look at that and say, okay, let's take a look at insomnia. 17% experience insomnia when they're on when they're taking Meripax, and 12% experience insomnia when they're on a placebo. So what they don't tell you is what is the placebo. We're kind of assuming that it's some sort of a powder that doesn't have any activity whatsoever, but we don't know that. It does not tell you what the placebo is. That placebo might even be NutraSweet. Well, NutraSweet is not a placebo, and it does have side effects. So when we look at these kinds of things, we have to take some of this in with a grain of salt unless we know what the placebo is. But I think that Meripax is one of those drugs that has, through the years, exhibited less side effects than some of the other things. I don't think you have too much to worry about.
Veronica from West Bank, British Columbia. I have been taking twice a day 1/2 teaspoon glutathione for 2 months to combat Parkinson's symptoms and haven't noticed any significant change. What is your opinion?
Okay, and that's pronounced glutathione. Parkinson's disease patients seem to have a deficiency of glutathione. Now, glutathione does not cross the blood-brain barrier. So if you're taking glutathione, chances are not too much of it is going to be very helpful to you as far as Parkinson's goes. Now, there are two forms of glutathione. There's the oxidized form and there's the reduced form. So you have to make sure that it's the reduced form. That's the active form of glutathione. The other thing is that glutathione is something they call a tripeptide. It has three amino acids in it. It has glutamine, it has glycine, and it has cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. Now, the amino acids do cross the blood-brain barrier, and the most popular one and the most effective one that crosses the blood-brain barrier is something called N-acetylcysteine. So your brain can take N-acetylcysteine and add glutamine and glycine to make glutathione. So if you're not getting the results that you think you should be with when you're taking glutathione, consider taking N-acetylcysteine. That's an amino acid that's available in, well, we carry it. You can probably find it in health food stores, but I would try to consult a compounding pharmacist and see what he says about it. Compounding pharmacists generally are more up on nutritional protocols than non-compounding pharmacists.
David from Toledo, can eating tofu and other soy products exacerbate Parkinson's?
Well, I'm not familiar with any problems with tofu or soy, although I probably should differentiate between tofu and soy, because the way he says soy is soy products, that generally means soy supplements. Tofu is not a soy supplement, it's a soy food. And we find that there's a vast difference between soy foods and soy supplements. So I don't think too much of soy supplements, but I do think a lot about soy foods. So if you're interested in soy, the first thing I would do is try the soy foods rather than the supplements.
Rachel from Baltimore, what is the pharmacological difference between mucuna versus levodopa carbidopa? Does mucuna contain additional beneficial components that cinnamon does not?
Well, first of all, the mucuna does have L-DOPA in it. And what we have to do is be careful about not getting too much L-DOPA. The levodopa or the L-DOPA and the carbidopa, they put the carbidopa in there because the body tolerates the L-DOPA more. If you do only L-DOPA, that could lead to side effects. And adding the L-DOPA from the mucuna might increase the incidence of side effects. And it may not show up immediately, so that's what you have to be kind of careful about. As far as any other beneficial components, as far as the cinnamon and as far as Parkinson's goes, I don't think there is anything else there. I mean, they use mucuna for a number of other things, but we're talking about mucuna.
And here's the word that I always have difficulty pronouncing again. What is the role of glutathione in fighting Parkinson's disease, and how does PD affect the absorption of glutathione-containing supplements such as Immunocol?
Okay, well, I'm not exactly sure what the role of glutathione is, particularly in fighting Parkinson's, other than the fact that glutathione is your body's, at least as far as we know, it is your body's strongest antioxidant. And we know that in Parkinson's disease, glutathione is deficient. And some studies have shown that the worse the Parkinson's, the lower the glutathione. So it is, glutathione is very, very essential for the health of Parkinson's disease patients, just like L-DOPA may be, because they work together. Glutathione is good for a number of different things, being an antioxidant, but it's the body's strongest antioxidant. And as I said before, that it's made up of, it's a tripeptide. It's made up of three amino acids. And if we look at this Immunocol, I took a real quick look at Immunocol, and it looks to me like what is in that product is something called cystine. That's C-Y-S-T-I-N-E. And cystine is the oxidized form of cysteine. And I think that the N-acetylcysteine is probably more effective and more beneficial than the cystine. But they may have some research that I have not looked at yet, so I'm just generalizing at this point.
What is the negative effect of vitamin B6 on the absorption of levodopa or the conversion of levodopa to dopamine? Is it similar to the effect of protein on absorption of levodopa?
The effect of vitamin B6, what happens with vitamin B6, it reduces the side effects of the L-DOPA, but it also reduces the effect of L-DOPA. So it's not a good idea to supplement with vitamin B6 when you're taking these medications. That creates a problem because vitamin B6 is really very important. But I would say that if you're going to take Parkinson's medications like the Sinemet or the Stalevo or the Myrapex, then you should try to get your vitamin B6 in your foods and not take it as a supplement, because 25 to 50 milligrams will reduce the effectiveness of these medications, so you should avoid that.
V. Golden from Brantford, Ontario asks, is Xandopa a safe alternative?
What was it called?
Xandopa, Z-A-N-D-O-P-A.
So we talked about Makuna. Makuna has some L-DOPA in it, so we have to be careful about getting too much L-DOPA. If you get too much L-DOPA, you might experience some of the side effects of it, such as this dyskinesia, which is these jerky movements that are actually pretty permanent. And once you get something like this, it stays.
Now, is there anything in particular that you generally like to recommend to people of what they can do to be able to get relief from symptoms such as what Parkinson's people experience with regard to diet or lifestyle, or what are the kind of basics as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think that it's really very important to follow your doctor's orders. And if he prescribes a certain drug like Sinemet, you should certainly do that. You should take Sinemet. You should watch your diet and make sure that you're not eating junk foods and that you're eating foods that are anti-inflammatory, like lots of fish and omega-3 essential fatty acids and flax. stay away from fats that are solid at room temperature. There are other things that you can use as well. There's something called NADH. So let me talk to you about NADH for a second. This is kind of interesting because I think this is pretty fascinating. Excuse me. I think this is pretty fascinating. NADH stands for nicotinamide adenosine dinucleotide. Excuse me. Let me say that again. It's a derivative of niacin. It's nicotinamide adenosine dinucleotide with an added hydrogen, NADH. When I got out of school a long time ago, my first summer working in a pharmacy, I remember a guy who came into the store who had Parkinson's. I didn't know who he was, first time I ever saw him. But somebody came back and said, there's a guy here who wants to talk to you. So I went out, and there's this guy. And he was trembling, and he was shaking. His hand was shaking. And he was showing me this note, and that note said L-DOPA. L-DOPA. Well, L-DOPA had not been stabilized. It was still being researched, and it actually came out later that year in a stabilized form. That L-DOPA changed the lives of millions of Parkinson's disease patients. And this was developed by a man by the name of George Birkmeyer, who had a Parkinson's disease clinic in Vienna, Austria, after World War II. He's a very brilliant man, and he was the first person to stabilize L-DOPA so that it can be taken in oral form. And so, fast forwarding to, say, the 1980s, there was another thing called NADH. NADH had been shown to be very beneficial to Parkinson's disease patients in IV form. And those patients who went to Vienna, to the Birkmeyer Institute, and was treated IV with NADH, people who came in wheelchairs walked out. The problem was that after a certain period of time, they ended up back in the wheelchair. The interesting thing about this is George Birkmeyer's son, who is also named George Birkmeyer, went to school, became an MD and a PhD in chemistry. And while he was working in the laboratory, working on his PhD, he figured out a way to stabilize NADH. So we have the senior Birkmeyer, who was able to stabilize L-DOPA, and then we have the junior Birkmeyer, who was able to stabilize NADH. NADH came on the market in the United States as an over-the-counter product probably 15 years ago. Now, George Birkmeyer came to the United States and approached the FDA. And the FDA looked at these studies and said, these are wonderful studies. Now, they gave him a choice to put it on prescription or to put it over the counter. He wanted this to be easily accessible to the public. So he said, put it over the counter. I think that was probably a big mistake in some respects because many healthcare providers feel that if it's going to work, it needs to be a prescription. But NADH has been available in this country for probably 15 years now. It helps to improve energy. It helps to relieve symptoms of Parkinson's. It's in pill form. And typically doses of 25 to 50 milligrams have reduced the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. But you don't need a prescription for it. So I think it's very, very interesting. that years ago it was Birkmeyer who stabilized L-DOPA, which led to cinnamid, and now we have NADH. And NADH is in pill form. You take it once a day, once or twice a day, on an empty stomach. So it's just another possible option of treating patients with Parkinson's. If they haven't tried NADH, they should consider it, talk it over with their doctor, see what he says, he or she. If you have tried it and it didn't work, then possibly it's a dose-related problem rather than just saying it didn't work. That's what happens a lot of times. When we don't get the dose right and it doesn't work, we're always in a hurry to get results, and we may walk away from it, and not knowing the fact that we just may not have gotten the dosage correct.
I've had a number of questions from people who have concerns about the quality of the pharmaceuticals that they get over the counter. How would a person know whether or not the NADH, for example, that they might purchase at a health food store or another kind of outlet would be a high-quality product?
Well, we deal with professional lines. And if there's a question that I have on any of the products that we carry, I will call the manufacturer and say, I'd like to have a certificate of analysis. And they will fax it to me immediately. If you go into a health food store or some other outlet and to purchase NADH, and you have any question about the quality of NADH or any other supplement, ask them, I'd like to see a certificate of analysis. If they say, what? Or if they say, well, we don't have those. Or if they say, well, the manufacturer doesn't supply those, turn around and walk out. If you have any questions, you should be able to get a certificate of analysis.
You gave a phone number that people could call to be able to get information about compounding pharmacists that might be located in their area. Could you give that once again, Randy?
Yes. It's PCCA. They're located in Texas. And their telephone number is 1-800-331-2498.
So I should tell our listeners that one of the reasons I have been really so passionate about issues regarding drug-drug complications and interactions is that my mother was taking 8 to 10 different medications for one thing or another. She had Parkinson's, and she really died as a result of complications from the medications from a stroke. And it was very obvious to me that from a thoughtful analysis of the combination of prescription drugs and supplements that she took, that that really could have been avoided. So I'm really passionate about the work that Randy does. You also, for people, Randy, do consultations. Could you say something about what that's all about?
Well, if somebody really wants to have a consultation with me, generally I'll spend an hour with them. And before we have a consultation, they fill out a form. Usually it's fairly extensive. It's maybe 15 or 18 pages long. And then we have a consultation. I go through that with them. I go through their diet. I can go through the medications they're taking. I can find out what other things are going on in their lives, why are they taking these other medications. You know, I think that there may even be a connection with Parkinson's with hormone imbalances. I just can't help but think that there is a hormone imbalance element to this. Because when I talk to people who have had these long-term chronic conditions, not just Parkinson's, but other things like multiple sclerosis and so on and so forth, I ask them, well, has anybody checked your testosterone levels or estrogen levels or progesterone levels? And hardly anybody ever says, yeah. Or your thyroid? How's your thyroid? Is there or how's your cortisol? Is there a stress element here? So we want to get to the bottom of this. We want to get to the root of this. Now, you might say that Parkinson's is a disease. But if we think about it, if we really think about it and start backing up, we think, okay, Parkinson's is really not a disease. If we change the way we think, say Parkinson's disease is really not a disease, it's a symptom of a disease. And if it's a symptom of the disease, and we just label it Parkinson's disease, then what really is the disease? Well, the disease may be that your L-DOPA levels are too low. Well, if your L-DOPA levels are too low, is that the disease? Or is that a symptom of the disease? If that's what's causing all these problems, what's causing the L-DOPA? We have to go back and find out, is there something else going on? Is it lifestyle? Is it food? Is it diet? Is it other drugs? Are there toxicities in the environment that are causing this? We find that manganese, if you have high levels of manganese, it could cause this. So maybe it's a manganese overdose that you've had somewhere along the line. If that's the case, let's back up another step. We might say, well, it was caused by manganese poisoning. But if we say, okay, manganese poisoning isn't really the disease either, so it's a symptom of the disease, what is the disease? And we keep going back and going back and going back. And to see if we can't find out something in their lifestyle, whether it's something they're eating, some supplement they shouldn't be taking, some drug that they are taking that's giving them a side effect, something in their past, maybe a hormone imbalance. We try to identify what is going on there. And sometimes we can, and sometimes it's very simple, and sometimes it's very complex. So we have these consultations. I spend time with them. And at the end, I will write a report. And in that report, I will talk. I'll write the things that we talked about, and I'll make some suggestions, whether they could be checking hormone levels, it could be checking some other levels, it could be checking vitamin D3 levels, it could be checking manganese, it could be checking all sorts of things, or it could be changing their diet, could be exercise, could be all kinds of things that could be helpful in making the life of a person who has Parkinson's disease a little bit easier.
The idea then is to keep going back and back and back and figure out what the root issues really are.
If we can, yes.
And sometimes that does require some testing to see what might really be involved.
Right.
So you, in your consultations, you do those in your clinic, and of course that would just be for people who are located near the Olympia, Washington area, but you also do these long distance, is that correct, so people can get your consultation over the phone?
We could, you know, so if somebody in Florida wants to have a consultation, we've done long distance consultations before, so if somebody in Florida wants to give me a call, we would send them the forms, they would fill it out and send them back to us so that I have a copy of it, and we could have a telephone consultation. And I would do the same thing. I would write a report and send it back to them. They can give it to their healthcare provider. They can do whatever they want to with the report, but at least they would have a report with some suggestions that I think might be helpful for them.
And Randy, for those of you listening, has given a very, very generous offer for his nutritional consultations. The normal price or cost of his consultations are $495 for the next 14 days. He's discounted that cost all the way down $200 to only $295, which is a steal. I really personally don't know anyone who has his skill, his knowledge, his abilities, and his insights. also for the next 14 days at any rate, that offer will be open. And in order to be able to express interest, you simply will see at the bottom of the screen there's a link, and you can get some additional information about his consultation. And if you wish, you can purchase it, contact him, and actually obtain the valuable information that he has to offer. So I want to thank you, Randy, for making that available to people. It really is a very generous offer.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to do that. And hopefully, if there's somebody out there who we might benefit, we'd be glad to do that.
Now, you are also doing what really is revolutionary work with regard to helping people with hormone imbalances. Could you say a bit about that work?
Well, majority of what we do in the compounding pharmacy involves hormones. And again, we have people come in with all sorts of complaints. And a lot of times, it's amazing to me how many times it actually boils down to a hormone imbalance. By balancing the hormones, whether it's estrogen and progesterone being out of balance, or not enough testosterone, or too much cortisol. Cortisol deals with stress, and it could be that stress is such a potent force in our lives, in our culture, that it's causing all kinds of these different problems, or these medical problems, these physiological problems, these other hormone imbalances. But that's what we have to work on. By solving one problem doesn't necessarily mean we're solving all the problems. So if we look at four systems, we look at the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands make over 50 hormones, but the one that we are most interested in is the cortisol. So if your cortisol levels are high, that means you're under stress. That's going to affect your thyroid. It's going to affect your sex hormones. It's also going to affect your blood glucose. So let's say that your thyroid is out of whack. It may be within what we call normal limits, but if there is such a thing as something called normal limits, I'd rather change that to expected limits. So if it's within expected limits, then chances are you're not going to be treated for hormones or thyroid problems. But if you look at those ranges, the ranges are huge. They are absolutely astronomically huge. So if you fit within that range, you might have all kinds of thyroid problems, but somebody's going to say, it's within this range, therefore it's all in your head. That's ridiculous. The hypothyroidism in this country is probably the most underdiagnosed disease there is. So we have the thyroid. If the thyroid is out of whack, it's going to influence the cortisol. It's also going to influence your estrogen and progesterone. It's also going to influence your blood glucose. And then you have your sex hormones, your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, and so on and so forth. So if you're going through andropause, which is menopause, or menopause for women, then those hormones are going to be declining, but they decline in different rates. They don't all decline in the same slope. In other words, testosterone might drop faster than estrogen. Progesterone might drop faster than estrogen. And even though you don't have as much estrogen as you did 10 years ago, you could still be estrogen dominant because you're out of balance with progesterone. There are all kinds of problems with there. So if that's if that's what's happening, that could interfere with your thyroid hormones. It could also influence your cortisol, and it could also influence your blood glucose. So if you have hypoglycemia or if you're diabetic, that could cause problems with your sex hormones. It could cause problems with your thyroid. It could cause problems with your cortisol. So they all have to be dancing together. And if they're dancing together and one of them is out of step, it's going to throw all the rest of them out of step. So it's important to balance everything, look at everything. Now, somebody might have a thyroid problem. They get treated for thyroid, but they don't get treated for everything else. Everything else is ignored, I'll put it that way. Well, unless you get your thyroid and your adrenal glands controlled, you're never going to get your hot flashes or your libido and those kinds of things back to normal. So it all works together, and that's the way your body works. It's called homeostasis. Everything should be in balance. Everything should be working well, just like a car. A car has many parts. All those parts need to be working together, or you're going to have problems with your car. They all have to be working together, or you're going to have problems with your body.
What I love about your work, Randy, is it's holistic. And so you're looking at symptoms that the person is experiencing. You're looking at diet. You're looking at lifestyle. And also dipping into issues with regard to testing for various levels of one thing or another, and then going after root causes. It's really quite remarkable, the work that you do.
Well,
I want to ask you. You see many people and do many, many consultations and see what happens with regard to people taking suggestions. Can people get relief from their symptoms? Is it possible to feel better?
I think it's possible to feel better in most cases. I think that most of the people we see, most of the people who come to us with problems, we are able to help them to solve their problems. Now, I can't solve their problems. I think that most healthcare professionals cannot actually solve the problems of the individual patient. The individual patient has to solve the problems. What we want to do is support their efforts, because they may not know how to do this. We just show them how. Once they know how, they do it themselves.
So, Randy, I want to give my deepest thanks for your willingness to answer all these long series of questions and talk about your work with regard to people who have the symptoms of Parkinson's. It's been an incredibly informative discussion for me.
Well, thank you for having me. I do appreciate it. This is very exciting. I appreciate what you're doing, and what you're doing is trying to help Parkinson's patients as well. So I hope you continue doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I certainly am. You can do a link at the bottom of the replay page, and you can get additional information about Randy's compounding pharmacy. And again, there is a link there that gives you information about the nutritional consultation if you wish to proceed to do that. The actual recording will be up for 30 days, so you'll be able to listen again to any parts of this that you'd like to hear again. I'd like to thank each of you for joining us today for this incredibly fascinating interview with Randy Mincer. And that's what's happening at Parkinson's Recovery. This is Robert Rogers on the shores of Puget Sound, where all the men are handsome, all the women are smart, and all the children are loved. Good day.